We will check the market zeitgeist with articles of impeachment on the table. I'm David Brancaccio. Today, the House is set to vote on articles of impeachment against the President of the United States. Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities at Aviva Investors, is among nearly everyone watching this. Morning to you, Susan.
Good morning.
So I'm looking at the market screens now. What, the market doesn't care?
No, they don't care. We're at all-time highs. The market is feeling pretty good. And they also realize that the likelihood of this becoming actually a change is very low. So the market's worried about business fundamentals, and all those continue to be positive. I don't think they expect a change in leadership or a change in tone from the top.
But how does a savvy investor incorporate politics into their calculation as we go into the new year? I mean, what, when the president feels under pressure, you might make a bet?
What we've seen is the president's very supportive of the stock market and of business, and that's important to him, particularly as we're coming into an election year. I think the market is pretty savvy. Institutional investors have figured this out and are counting on the fact that there's going to continue to be that support for business going forward.
All right, separate topic. As I look out and see all these holiday decorations, I'm told it's the most wonderful time of the year, the song keeps saying. Time for market professionals to hit the eggnog and chill?
Well, maybe, except they have nightmares from last year when it wasn't the most wonderful time of the year. We saw a precipitous drop in the market. It crashed into year end.
And yeah, if you think about it, it was Christmas Eve last year where it hit that
indeed.
Nadir.
And so being at home sipping eggnog was a terrible feeling because you had no idea what was going on. Everyone's looking over their shoulder. I think we're going to see everyone trying to just stand pat and hold through to year end.
All right. Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities, Aviva Investors. Thank you.
Thank you.
So the S&P fell 2.7% on Christmas Eve last year as we relive the magic. Trade war, government shutdown. As we've been reporting today, a shutdown is set to be averted on Friday when the Senate votes on a $1.4 billion budget bill. Now, we call them Jeeps, but they'll soon be kin to Fiats, Peugeots, and Citroëns with the approval today of a merger of equals between Fiat Chrysler of London and the Netherlands and PSA of Paris. Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer.
If the merger is approved by regulators and shareholders, brands like Jeep, Dodge, Alfa Romeo, and Opel would be under one roof. The two automakers say they won't be closing any factories. They don't make any promises about layoffs. They say the combined company will save about $4 billion a year from beefed up purchasing power, since a bigger corporation can get better prices for parts and supplies, and also from improved efficiency, since most of their vehicles will be built using two standard platforms. The merger is expected to be finalized in about a year. Last week, UAW members voted in favor of a new contract with Fiat. Reuters is reporting that Fiat will meet with Italian trade unions this Friday to discuss details of the merger.
Nancy, thank you very much. Marketplace helps you answer questions you've always wondered about, and now that includes finding out more about how and why we do what we do every day. Become a Marketplace investor today, and you'll get exclusive access to a series of virtual AMAs featuring Molly Wood, Guy Rizdahl, and me, David Brancaccio. Don't miss out on our 2020 Ask Me Anything series. Contribute $60 or sign up to donate $5 a month at marketplace.org. And thank you. Around the world, pocketbook issues have been the catalyst for protests against inequality. In Lebanon, it started with attacks on WhatsApp calls. In Chile, demonstrations started with an increase in public transit costs, where protests now include calls to overhaul pensions, change the constitution. In Chile's capital, Santiago, the effects of the ongoing protests have brought some businesses to the brink. Here's the BBC's Jane Chambers.
Plaza Italia, or Dignity Square as it's been renamed, is at the heart of the protests in Chile. Pavements have been ripped up to make barricades, and there's graffiti everywhere. Many of the shops are now boarded up. Patricia sells sweets, drinks and biscuits in a small kiosk right next door to the now destroyed metro station.
Every day there have been protests, and after 3 p.m. I have to pack up and leave. They've destroyed my kiosk, but I take all the merchandise with me. The delinquents throw rocks at the police and they fight back with tear gas and water cannon. My head hurts because of the tear gas. The situation has damaged my health.
It's not just her health that's been damaged. Sales at her shop are down by 80% and Patricia's not sure how much longer she can keep her kiosk open. But some people here are making the situation work for them. Street vendors have adapted their products to appeal to a new market. Brigida Anderson sells brightly coloured bandanas, reflecting the political beliefs of the various protesters.
I was working as an Uber driver, but I couldn't get around because of all of the demonstrators blocking the streets. Now I sell souvenirs of the social unrest to tourists and protesters.
Walking around the streets, many of the restaurants are empty or closed, and hotels are having a rough time. Caroline Devoyer works at Hostel Rio Amazonas, just down the road from Plaza Italia. She explains how the UN's decision to move its annual climate conference from Chile to Madrid this month has impacted the business.
We were meant to be completely full for COP25, and then it was cancelled because of the situation here. And most of our reservations were cancelled. The same thing happened with APEC. Two big events that meant the hotel should have been full, but not now.
Chile's peso is down, and economic forecasts have been slashed since protests began in October. The government's helping businesses that have been looted, but Caroline wants more to be done to get this area back on its feet.
We aren't asking the government for money, but we do need the right conditions to work, for the pavements to be fixed and streetlights to return, so people feel safe walking about at night.
Business owners around here are struggling to pay their staff and overheads. This once thriving historic area of Santiago desperately needs people to come back and spend their money if it's going to survive. In Santiago, I'm the BBC's Jane Chambers for Marketplace.
We are also covering news that Britain's central bank will start doing stress tests on insurance companies and banks to see how they'll hold up in the face of climate change. Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed if you miss our coverage on the air. I'm David Brancaccio, and we're from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.